Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text this morning is the epistle from Jude, verses 20 to 25. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the last weeks of the church year are very eschatological. Their themes are about the end. As the church year winds to its close, we look in our worship and in our thoughts at the return of Christ, the end of the world, the things that await us in this earth and in the life to come. And we've seen that over and over again in our scripture readings, each week getting a little more blunt about all this, including today, when the prophet Isaiah writes that the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die like light in like manner. Our Lord Jesus likewise tells us at length of the events on the last day, times when the sun and the moon will be darkened, when the stars will fall from the sky, when the heavens and earth pass away, and judgment follows. He tells us that the signs are upon us, and it's near, and that we, his faithful people, are to keep watch, to stay awake. True, important, and holy words, and words that seem to fit this year exceedingly well. For as we consider current events, many people have wondered, are these the last days? Now, God's people should have no doubt about that, for the word is clear, these are the last days. But think of what it is that makes people say such things. Acts of terrorism, randomly taking lives for political cases that seem so murky, violence that makes no sense. Civil unrest in our own country, protests, people stirring the pot over issues sometimes very serious, sometimes trumped up to get authority and power for themselves. Uncertainty in the political and civil realm. Our country seems more divided than ever. And there doesn't seem to be any clear way forward. Are we, in fact, living in the end when we look at the world around us? Looking closer, within our own congregation, we have many facing various challenges. We see the number of people who've been called to glory in the past year, and we mourn. We struggle with illnesses and personal challenges and frustration, and we wonder, is this the end? Should we not, in times like these, recognize the signs that our Lord Jesus gave to us? Signs that the end is near, that his coming is something that could come at any moment. These are the last days, just as Jesus taught. And whether we see the end of them with his glorious return imminently, or whether our own last day comes through more mundane ends, through our own death, either way, he calls us to faith. He calls us to be ready at any time for him. And that topic can evoke two radically different responses. How many people find words like that frightening? Doesn't the world like to drag out themes of the end for entertainment value? A way to scare ourselves, a way to get the adrenaline running, and then to scoff, as if by putting it on a screen or in a novel, it becomes easier for us to deal with it. But in a world where even today, the majority of people think there is or may well be a God, quite a lot of them are simply unready for the end, even those who name themselves Christians. They know they're not ready to meet their God, and so they hope there isn't an end. Or maybe there isn't even a God, they hope. Or if there is, they hope he simply gives them more time and keeps this at bay as long as possible. Because it's frightening. And let's be honest, even in faith, no one wants to go through the challenging times. The signs that lead to the end remain frightening and daunting things. But if we respond in faith, we might find perhaps at least some hope and excitement in this, because the return of Christ is the return of our Lord and Savior. And that's the best of news. For he who gave his life on a cross for sinners like you and me, he who redeemed us from all of our guilt, he has given us the free gift of faith by his Holy Spirit. This Jesus, the one who gave everything to you, comes again to give you the very riches of heaven and life and joy for all eternity. He comes to draw us to himself. He comes to bring salvation to his own. We are the children of God, redeemed, forgiven. But in this life, we struggle also with our old sinful nature. That old Adam and the new creation in Christ are both warring within us and cause us to struggle. And because both are active in the life of a child of God in this life, we may find both of these reactions in ourselves. Hope and anxiety. Joy and perhaps fear. That's normal for a sinner saint. Don't despair if you have such feelings, but recognize them for what they are. Temptation. For the enemy is trying to steal your joy. Resist that in faith and know God's comfort and his blessing. So how do we respond to the end? Do we deny reality like so many does? Well, denying reality doesn't make it less real. Do we turn to our own preparations and devices, getting ready for some of the events, stockpiling supplies, food and water and emergency equipment, perhaps arming ourselves, being prepared to run for the hills or go off the grid just in case? Now, some of those might well be good preparations, some of them, for people living in Southern California in a place of earthquakes and other such challenges. But such preparations, even if they might help, help only with the symptoms. They only consider the temporary signs of the end and not the end itself. They overlook the most important thing. But our God would not have us do this. Through St. Jude, he shows us how to respond in faith. Earlier in his short epistle, Jude warned against false teachers, against various self-serving spiritual behavior that characterizes the end times. And his descriptions sound awfully timely. It sounds like he's describing our culture very well. And he warns that people who engage in such behavior, and they're all around us, cause divisions, and that Christians should not follow after the wanton, sinful behavior of the world. And then he turns his attention to the people of God and shows to us a pattern of life, calling us to live in the faith that God has given us and giving some concrete examples, some expressions of a living faith that will be particularly sustaining in challenging times. I invite you to follow along in the epistle because Jude's outline is better than any I could come up with. We're going to start at verse 20 and see how the apostle counsels us as we look in these last days. Jude calls us. He says, "Build yourselves up in your most holy faith." He's not calling you to build your faith, for it's already been established and built for you. He's not telling you we're responsible for it. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit who connects us with the work of Christ. He's telling us to live in it. To live in the dwelling that God has made for us. Be built up by using what God has graciously given you. Build yourself up by being strengthened in the Word and in the sacraments. Give and receive blessings and strength to your fellow believers in the body of Christ as we fellowship together. Don't turn to false teachers or selfish behavior, but especially in challenging times, rely on one another, for each of us is a gift to each other in the body of Christ. He's reminding us of the most basic things. We have what we already need as members of the body of Christ. We have the gifts of God given for us. Live in safety, built up in Christ's holy temple. And the church, it isn't a human organization either. It's established by God and is God's holy temple. God dwells within the church, within you. Reinforcing that, Jude encourages us by showing us the work of all three persons of the Holy Trinity. Verse 20. Pray in the Spirit. Bring your needs and those of others to God in prayer, knowing that He promises to hear and answer, and that His Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Be anxious for nothing, but give your needs to God in prayer. Verse 21, he shows us the Father. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Be loved. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about that. He loves you. Allow yourself to recognize that He has you, that you don't need to hold on to God, that He's holding on to you, and His love doesn't fail. Live in awareness of that. Live in joy knowing how deeply you're loved. And when you do that, share that love of God with one another as we keep each other in the love of God. Verse 21 shows us Christ as well. We are waiting for the mercy of Christ that leads to eternal life. Know that your crucified, risen Savior has accomplished all and comes for you with love and blessings and salvation and mercy. And this is the tools that Jude draws us to in these end days. As we're built up in the holy faith that comes from God, equipped and blessed by the triune God, we have strength not only to endure, but to rejoice. We who belong to Him are reminded of our blessings. But Jude doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us simply with a word of comfort that makes us feel better in these end times. He also points us outside of ourselves. He points us to others. Verse 22, have mercy on the doubting. For every believer has doubts. Everyone who comes to faith is still assaulted by doubts and fears and worries. Don't judge them, but be merciful. Serve them spiritually by delivering the word, by praying for them, by supporting them. Doubt is not unbelief. So be merciful to those who doubt and strengthen them. Verse 23, save others by snatching them out of the fire, sharing your faith, calling to your brothers and sisters who've stumbled into sin, not judgmentally, but compassionately. lovingly, with concern only that they receive the grace that Christ has earned for them. Show mercy to them with fear, hating the garment stained by flesh. What Jude's saying is that we should be merciful to sinful people. That too often the church has been characterized as the place that tells everybody how bad they are and how wrong they are and how hopeless they are, which is all true. But it's true of us just as much as any other. Show mercy to sinful people because the church is filled with it and the world is filled with them. But with fear, being careful that we not fall into the same sins. That our desire to reach out to others doesn't pull us down, but lifts them up. We do that in faith. But know that it's not up to you. Verse 24, Christ is able to keep you from stumbling because you're not. We've all seen parents teaching children how to walk, taking those toddlers who can barely keep up and holding them by the hand and walking along and at times keeping them suspended in midair when they fall. A child often at the beginning held between two people or something else trips and yet keep moving forward without any trouble at all because their parents have them. So it is with we who walk with Christ. We stumble all the time. And by ourselves we fall. But our Lord Jesus holds us firmly by the hand and walks with us, lifting us when we fall. And he is able, verse 24, to present you blameless, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. He's done it all, and he will accomplish it. Truly, we are equipped to live in these last days, however close to the final end we may be. Equipped to live not in faith, not in fear, but in faith. For God's salvation is forever. His word will never pass away. And he has declared us righteous for Christ's sake. Dear brothers and sisters, the end is near. Rejoice. And be a blessing to each other and to the world. And now to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.